Yeah, thanks. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our earnings call today. My name is Rainer Koppes, CEO and co-founder of KAT-TECH SE. I will guide you through this call together with our CFO, Dr. Johannes Fuß. Let's move to the first slide, please. And let me start with a very, quick recap. I mean, why are we in the market? Why are we building this strong growing company? I mean, first of all, I mean, electronics is the heart and brain of all intelligent smart products in the European key industries like healthcare, renewables, or robotics. And I mean, someone needs to support all of those electronics with regards to engineer and manufacture these electronic components and products. So KAT-TECH is implementing a strong buy and build approach to consolidate the still very fragmented market and make KAT-TECH the leading European powerhouse in high value electronics. Right now, we are already the number four in Europe and the number two in Germany, and that's just the beginning, as we are set to be the fastest growing player in Europe over the last few years. So let's change the European electronics industry. That's our vision here. Let me move to the Q3 highlights in 2022. I mean, if there would be only three things you should keep in mind from this call, it's exactly what you can find in the headline. So we had a 37% growth in the Q3 2022. This was another acceleration, compared to the first two quarters. Our operating earnings year to date, have been at the prior year's level in absolute numbers, which, is a very, very good result, if you take all of the headwinds into consideration. And we just last Friday announced the acquisition of Nextech in the USA. Let's quickly, move through the categories. First of all, the growth. So the sales in Q3 accelerated to exactly 37.3%. And year-on-year, we had a volume of 495.7 million euro, which is a plus of 23.3% all over the year. And the beauty here is that almost all of this is organic growth. And the other beauty is that already in the first week of October, we reached the, let me say, magic number of 500,000,000 in revenues. And I mean, this is quite impressive because last year we passed 500,000,000 in revenues only in December. So once again, the strongest growth impulses, they came from our three high-value electronics areas, where we have even, I mean, own IP and own products. So the electronics renewables solar segment was up 131.8% year-on-year, so it more than doubled. And the telecare healthcare business was up 171% year-on-year. And this was mainly influenced, the 171%, mainly influenced by our superior ability to deliver in times of, massive kind of shortage. So we've been able to deliver what we promised, and that's at the end of the day made it possible to gain massive market shares in the market here. By the way, also to let me say mention the weaknesses. The weakest segment was the classic automotive segment with kind of zero growth at all, no growth at all. Of course, the e-mobility charging business was growing faster with 11% year-on-year, but the classic automotive was the weakest area in the industries we are serving today. So with regards to the operating margin, the operating result, so the adjusted EBITDA year to date, was at more than 21 million euros, so exactly on the same level as in the prior year, despite all the headwinds like margin pressure, which we've been facing over the course of the year so far. So we decided that we confirm the guidance. So the guidance is still at 615 million in revenues plus the consolidation of Sigma Point for one quarter, which will be up to 20 million, which then will bring us to 635 million probably. And at the same time, we decided also to confirm the operational EBITDA forecast, where we said that this will be 10% up compared to the last year. The management one, I just want to mention very, very briefly here, because we have a separate slide on that later in the presentation. So we decided to expand the management team with two, you know, real and impressive top managers. We decided to introduce a new role in Katech on group level, the chief sales officer, and, you know, we will appoint Klaus-Peter Bader to do this, especially to further push the organic growth objectives. We will go deeper into this later. And a chief transformation officer, where we, you know, already appointed 1st of November, Petra Becker, to bundle all the group-wide measures of the supply chain management and the margin protection measures which are right now, I mean, absolutely number one priority in the entities, but also on group level. With regards to M&A, you know, we are, you know, still delivering what we promised. And you've all read that in August we did the signing of the Canadian company Sigma Point, and we are already in the middle of the post-merger integration process. We have a slide on this later as well. And we only in now on Friday we announced the planned acquisition of the US-based Nextech. That's a high-tech profile company, especially in aerospace and defense, with excellent customer logos and a perfect add-on to Canadian Sigma Point. But again, we have a special slide on that later. So next one. So let's move a little bit more in detail, you know, to the numbers. And Johannes, you can take it from there.
Yeah, hi. I'm happy to give you an overview about of some key figures of our development. First of all, let's start with the revenues. And yeah, Rainer has been touching that aspect in the beginning. We were 23% up versus first 9 months last year. That again, it was in Q3 even 37%, and that summed up to almost half a billion. And yeah, as Anna said, we've been really crossing that milestone of half a billion revenues. Yeah, first week of October, which is something that we in the last year only reached in December. Important to say that almost all of this is organic, as only there's only 5 million euro revenues coming from Sigma Point after the consolidation, as it is a rather fresh acquisition still. So 23%, yeah, almost all organic. That has been the result of a very, very strong demand across our segments, particularly in what we call the growth segments, and Rainer is going to comment on that in more detail on one of the following slides. Yeah, let me move on and comment on the gross profit, gross margin. We have been very successfully been able to push on the add-on costs that we had to occur in terms of the so-called supply chain crisis. So what we see, it is quite a diluting effect of this successful passing on. And if you see, this is just has been enlarging our total output. And if you, this is not something we adjust, but it's a controlling figure that is really important to understand. If we put this out of the consideration, then we are at a 28.9
percent gross margin Q3 year to date. As I said, this is just important to understand the number. You still see that there is a gap towards last year, and this has a reason, as we have not been able to really use one of our major levers in the past 18 months. This is bringing price decreases into the sourcing. And we're just now, we're really entering into a phase where we regain that position and bring in fresh pricing negotiations. The EBITDA adjusted, I think we mentioned that before. After 9 months, we are a little bit above last year. We are at absolutely 21.2 million euro. That in terms of absolute numbers is something that we feel quite positive about, as it is the result of various countermeasures in terms of pricing, in terms of cost. But still, what you see is the gross margin effect I've been talking about. Plus what you see is that some of the pricing increases are just only now in the process of rolling into effect. Let me come a little bit more to the balance sheet side of things. Those who have been following us know that total working capital is pretty much dominated by inventory. We've taken the decision last year to really ramp up strategic inventory in order to be able to deliver on to our customers in time and in quality. And this is something that shows in the balance sheet, obviously, too. We are at an inventory level of 270 million. But what you have to keep in mind is that this is including the just freshly consolidated Sigma Point. If you go like for like with the previous months, that'd be something less, or the 36 million euro inventory by Sigma Point, that'd be something like 234. And then if you keep in mind also that we've been able to really work hard in the working capital and increase the advance payments versus prior year, then you actually see what is meant by these relative figures here. We are in the same range, actually, in percentage of sales as we were last year. So we are right now in a 23.4% of sales without that M&A effect. So that is where we stand right now. And we're going to come with the management aspects. We're going to come to the point where we really also talk in more depth in the programs we're doing to manage this inventory. Rainer, you want to comment in more detail on the segments?
Yeah, super. So let's come back to the impressive growth. So on the right-hand side, you can see again the overall strong growth year-to-date of 23%. And please really keep in mind that this is almost all organic growth. Like we said, several times, so 22% roughly is organic growth here, which is very strong and enables us to further strong market share wins in some of the key industries here. So let's quickly go through the three high-value electronics areas where we have own products and even IP. I mean, to begin with the renewables part. So the sales is particularly strong, and I mean one of the underlying reasons, of course, the wide implementation of all the green deals in Germany, but across Europe, beyond, and also the gas shortage. So, the limitation here right now is really in the market. The shortage of the parts is the shortage of installation capacity, of course. So this is all running very, very well. And as we, look into the order books, for this fiscal year, 22, so the last few weeks, and then also for 23, We are extremely optimistic, you know, that this growth will continue. So if you look into the 84 million, which we already have in the books end of September, then, I mean, I'm pretty confident that this will be around 100 million already this year in this really, really important segment. And then next year that there will be, I mean, another further growth, you know, which is based on the still growing order book. So we are winning some new customers right now, and at the same time, the existing customers, they almost, you know, give us a call every month, further increasing the order book. So that's very positive here. Then let's move to the telecare segment. So the telecare sales is also more than doubled. So it's kind of the strongest growth we are showing in any of our industries. And as I said, that's very strongly boosted by our ability to deliver when all of our customers, all of our competitors are not really able to deliver. So what's the reason there? I mean, many of you know that, I mean, our competitive advantage is really that also in those areas where we have own products, we are covering the entire value chain of electronics. So with the we develop our own products. I mean, we do the first prototypes, we do all the material handling and the sourcing of the critical components, and we do all of the manufacturing. So if you have everything, you know, in your hands and you're not dependent from let manufacture your products like some of our competitors in the telecare area from some, let me say, suppliers in China, I mean, then you are dead in times where everything is more critical and difficult than usual. So this really will lead us to a nice number beyond the 20 million, most probably in this fiscal year already, massively meaning market shares in our key markets like Benelux, like Germany, but also in the meanwhile like Ireland and the UK. Coming to the e-mobility part of our business, I mean, that's we have to really divide this into, I would say, two segments. The first one is that, I mean, all of those 11.2% of growth, which we saw, you know, over the last three quarters, is you know, is a good growth because it's despite all the shortages and the partial factory closures at our key customers. The demand is still very, very strong, and we think it will also accelerate, you know, in 23 when, you know, the shortage, you know, is becoming much, much better. Just to remind you what this is, all of the 31 million year to date is based on our business with Porsche, with Audi, and also with Bentley, where we provide them with mobile chargers, the complete mobile chargers in the AC segment, which is partly standard equipment like in the Porsche Taycan, and you know, in some models it's extra equipment with which customers can order. So all of the 31 million are based on this business, and the 11% could have been much, much stronger, like I would say 15 to 20% if all other suppliers to Porsche, for instance, would have been able to deliver, you know, what Porsche was originally asking for. But this was not the case. So there had been, you know, some closures of factories, so that also our sales number has been negatively affected here. But, and now comes the beauty, the real booster will be our own white label wall box called Ghost One, which is said to be the best 22 kilowatt AC wall box in the market. And, you know, this will start in 23, and we will not sell this wall box under our own brand, so the Katec brand, for instance, but always under the brand of our customers. So these volumes will kick in very strongly latest, you know, beginning Q3 in 23. Very, very promising business right now. yeah, let's move on and let's talk a little bit about our, management portfolio. And Johannes, maybe you can start with Petra.
Yeah, we're very happy that we convinced Petra to start on a group level. She's going to be focusing on the supply chain management topics, on the margin protection topics. And as you know, CATEC consists of several speedboats, and we have the programs in place regarding these topics in every speedboat. But they're all really facing the same challenges. Talking about supply chain, for instance, really bringing in process KPIs end to end, and so we were at a point where we found it highly beneficial to have this also really covered in the group management. And as I said, I'm happy that we convinced Petra Becker to start. She has a tremendous track record in the industry and in positions just like that, bringing this to the point where we want to be. Yeah, and as I said, we're happy to have her here.
Yeah, that's a real win for our management team here, both in terms of knowledge, but also in terms of drive and personality. And the second one is actually what to say about Klaus-Peter Bader. So Klaus-Peter, he's working, for many years for CATEC, and he successfully managed to transform our entity in Memmingen and Bulgaria into a very fast growing and profitable entity in the meanwhile. And he was also responsible during the past years for the extremely successful renewables solar business. All the enhancement which we did in Bulgaria. So he have a kind of, he's standing for profitable growth in our group. And so that's the reason why we asked him to take over this and pass the managing director position in Memmingen, Bulgaria to a successor, whom we already, signed with. First of January, there will be kind of a takeover by this gentleman called Hendrik Thiel, and Klaus-Peter Bader will assume the newly created chief sales officer organization. So what do we expect from him? First of all, further pushing exactly the profitable growth, methods and, measures, what he already did in Memmingen. And now, to bring this to the next level, meaning, to do this across the group, with a very strong emphasis on cross and upselling. In the meanwhile, and we will see this on one of the next slides, we have, such a huge universe in our CATEC family, and each of the entities has its own skills and competencies. So there's a huge upside potential to sell all of those capabilities to all of the other customers, all of the other legacy customers who joined us through one or the other acquisition. So this will be one of the key tasks of Klaus-Peter, together with the sales teams of the entities, to design and build strategic customer development key account plans, and then make sure that we implement this. And then, of course, he will also, together with Golo, who's heading the business development in our group since 2019, he will also take care of that. We will focus strongly on the most promising, profitable new logos and win all the must-win deals like we already did, in the CATEC, Memmingen, etc. So, he has already lots of ideas on how to further accelerate our profitable growth. And, he's already, talking to many people and also customers. And, he will start then to 100% 1st of January. So next slide, please. Let me come back to NextTech. That's pretty fresh here, pretty new. We announced to acquire NextTech only last Friday. So what is this about? We just signed the SPA, And we expect the closing, you know, end of this year, or, I mean, the latest in early Q1. So what is Nextech about? First of all, it's high-tech electronics company based in Alabama, or more specifically in the high-tech hub of Huntsville. They have a very dedicated focus, you know, which we liked a lot, on prototyping and low volume production in the area of high value electronics. And when I'm talking about high value electronics, then I really mean high value electronics. And they have customers like, for instance, SpaceX or Boeing or Google. So, I mean, that's really high tech here. They have a very, very good track record in the aerospace and defense area, and they are not only doing PCBA, they are also very familiar with box build and building complete products. And they have all the necessary certifications, like the ITAR one, that's the U.S. Military certification, and also, you know, in the area of medical. So one of the large opportunities and why we finally decided to buy Nextech is that we can use them as a strategic weapon in the American market to work together with high-tech customers, also in the early phase, like in the engineering phase, then to help them doing the prototyping, then to help them doing a small batch production. And once, you know, those customers are growing, or, you know, those products, the success of those products in the markets are growing, we then can pass the larger series production to Sigma Point in Canada. So this will be a very, very smart combination here in order to make it possible to source in the American market new customers, build new logos, and then when it's becoming bigger to, you know, direct this to Sigma Point. And the last thing I really want to mention here is they not even have impressing customers and impressing, you know, technical competence. They also have impressing management team under the leadership of John Roberts, the CEO. So we expect them to grow to $35 to $40 million already next year. Then also have a kind of a very positive add-on effect of the acquisition of large series in Canada. And also to mention, all of this comes with a very with a very attractive EBITDA margin, which is beyond the CAPEX EBITDA major margin today. So this is really going to be beautiful. Next one, please. Just to make you aware of, you know, what happened during the last 4 years. So buy and build strategy is not something we are just talking about, but, and some of you have been in touch with CAPEX since January 19, when we officially announced to create a buy and build story in the market. At this point of time, we have been nobody in Germany and also in Europe, so not even being in the top 10. Since then, we have added 10 major entities and integrated them into our vision and our network, you know, in order to become sooner or later, I would say sooner, the number one in Europe. So just to make it very clear here, I mean, Eisler was new, as if I look back to January 19, Eisler is new, Beflex is new, A-Systems is new, CAPEX in Czech Republic is new, CAPEX Düsseldorf is new, CAPEX Mauerstetten is new, CAPEX Leipzig is new, CAPEX Canada is new, CAPEX Malaysia is new, and TeleAlarm is new as well. And now with Nextech, which will happen most probably until end of the year, it's 11 major entities which we successfully added to the CAPEX family, and where we see a lot of potential in the future in, especially also in you know, the area of playing out our purchasing power, which was very difficult during the last, let me say, 18 months. But, I mean, this will change now pretty much. And that's exactly what we are talking about in the next in the next slide. So let's talk a little about our homeworks, and maybe Johannes, you can start with the homeworks in the area of operational performance and crisis mastering.
Yeah, let me start on the bottom right, really. And I think we've partly touched these aspects. Everything that is in the focus area of Petra Becker circles around working capital management and margin improvement. And yeah, really, I touched that quickly. Inventories are a process topic. So what we do here is really look at processes end to end and start with the customer, improve the data quality of the forecast, improve the sourcing process and the sourcing timeline, improve the operation timeline. So in the end, really to have a cash management effect. And yeah, we wrote it down. She has the license to kill if necessary. So far, it has not been necessary, but it sure can be. The second thing is the margin protection. And already also I touched that we have been very strict this year in terms of pushing on costs, pushing through price increases. And again, we're just in the really second half year in the process to see that these price effects are rolling into effect. All that really pays it and contributes to a strengthening effect to our margin.
Yeah, super. Then let me move to the more strategic initiatives. So, I mean, what we are doing here is, in a nutshell, continue the path of profitable growth. And also, that's something like, more than 10% per annum organically. And I will come back on this and do a kind of a mathematical exercise in a minute. We really need to implement our so-called production network optimization strategy. So what is this about? This is about that we give our, leading entities in the group a more specific profile right now. So meaning that, every entity is focused on a certain target industry with all the underlying certifications, technologies, and processes. I mean, for instance, the already mentioned Katek Memmingen and Bulgaria will massively focus on everything around renewables, solar, power electronics, and also healthcare. And on the other hand side, our entity in Leipzig, then combined with Düsseldorf, will focus on all the, manufacturing, development of charging and the automotive segment. So there will be a very, very strong focus across the entities, which will give us further impact from the energy. So then next one, the strategic cooperation and growth markets. I mean, all of those fast-growing markets, solar, e-mobility, charging, and telecare are growth markets, not only in a way that, those markets are fast growing in an organic way, but also there will happen a lot of consolidation and also with strategic cooperations that, some entities do a very, very close cooperation in certain areas with regards to the development, with regards to the production, or also with regards to the go-to-market. And we are in, multiple talks with competitors and potential partners in order to foster our market position here. So most probably, expect something in those areas next year. And then last but not least, M&A. As you know, we are in the third phase of our M&A strategy, meaning, what I also said last year in 22 and maybe also 23, we are there to further enhance the geographical footprint. We have now something in Canada and the USA. We have our Malaysia, entity, but there will be most probably more in the very important market of Scandics and also in Asia, specifically by the way, China, but I mean, this would be a special discussion, which would take a little bit longer. And then we also think, the market is now mature to do some more strategic outsourcing deals in Europe, meaning taking over the electronics business of one of our customers completely. And we have also some very interesting and deep and mature discussions on that in the market as well. So if I take all of this and then do a little bit of math, I mean, then let's take our estimate for 22, the 635 million, which includes the first consolidation of one quarter of SigmaPoint. If I just take this one and then assume that we, also in the next 3 years, are growing with 10%, only with 10%, because normally even in crisis, we manage to grow much faster organically. But let's assume it's only 10% per year for the next 3 years, and then add another 150 million of inorganic growth. And by the way, if I combine Nextech and SigmaPoint, I mean, most probably next year, they are already at $100 million. So that's not very uncertain here. I mean, then I will end up automatically with 1 billion midterm. And I don't want to say whether it's 24 or whether it's, 25. But I mean, we will come to a run rate, monthly run rate, very, very soon, which will support 1 billion of revenue. And this then, with all the kind of levers, also Johannes just mentioned, with all of our purchasing power, which we can use again once the shortage is over, with all the synergies from the production network strategy. I mean, all of this will also help us to then come to a 10% or now translated 100 million euro in EBITDA as well. And that's absolutely the management target. And do I personally think that's doable? Yes, I do think so. And then we are one of the few leaders, if not even the leader in Europe here. So this was my final remark. Thank you very much. It's going to be beautiful, and I would like to switch to the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Robert Jan van der Horst from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the nice top line. I would like you to help me a little bit understand the guidance a little bit better, because as I see it for Q4, you basically guide a flat top line compared to last year, not a lot of growth, and that is although there should be some 50 million from SigmaPoint, maybe even something from MedTech. So why are you still being so conservative on the sales guidance? At the same time, kind of the question the other way around on the EBITDA. So you have been quite confident in your report that the margin will go up in the last quarter, as it usually does seasonally. However, it's still what makes you so confident that despite all the headwinds from increasing costs, that the margin will be so much better in the last quarter to achieve your goal here. That's basically my main question.
Yeah. Maybe Johannes, I will take the sales side. Absolutely. So, the reason for that is very simple, and I share your observations with regards to the sales side. On the optimistic side, and also our entities are always on the optimistic side, we could have increased, the guidance, but with regards to all the uncertainties, and many of our, let me say, competitors and industry players right now, you know, reducing their guidance, we decided that it's maybe the wrong moment right now, because we still have, you know, a lot of ugly surprises. And I mean, every day in the market with regards that, I mean, some kind of a chip or other components are not arriving, but they promised. And as we know, that the weeks, you know, before Christmas and New Year, they are, you know, narrowing more and more. So over the course of the year, if something is not arriving, you easily can compensate saying that maybe it's arriving next quarter. But I mean, in this case, the problem is next quarter will be next fiscal year. Okay. So that's the reason why to, let me say, balance all the uncertainties which we are still seeing, we decided not to change and not to increase the guidance. But I mean, I share your observations. We are more, as you rightly said, on the conservative side here. And maybe Johannes, you can say something about the margin part.
Yeah, the margin part, or the EBITDA adjusted part, naturally is much more narrow, really. So what kept us after really checking, kept us saying we confirm that part. I mean, we have pretty good visibility on the order books and on the next weeks and months of production, and so we see that all those aspects that I've been mentioning on a high level, that the price increases and the cost measures really allowed us to say, and this is kind of in terms of profitability, you have seen a similar thing happening last year with the Q4 really being very strong. And so this is why, despite all the headwinds that I'm not neglecting, really, we stick to the prognosis, yeah, to the forecast.
And if I might add one thing is that, I mean, we also do, you know, a lot of, let me say, bottom-up forecasting together with all of our entities. And the forecasts of our entities, they are supporting what Johannes just said. And secondly, I mean, what we are also seeing is that the, let me say, the huge amount of extra cost, you know, what we were facing over the last, you know, 2 years, extra cost meaning that we needed to buy some components at a very, very, very high price, you know, at, you know, some of the brokers. I mean, this is slightly coming down right now because it seems like the shortage is becoming a little bit better, first. And secondly, even if you have a shortage and you need to buy by a broker, even the bright broker prices are not anymore 20 times the original price, but maybe it's only 10 times the original price. So there are some, I would say, supporting trends which gave us, you know, some kind of certainty that, you know, we can keep the guidance. So all the indications, you know, let us do this. And yeah.
Okay, perfect. That was all very right. Helpful. One follow-up question, maybe just for housekeeping. So, can you give me a ballpark about the one-offs from the acquisitions that you expect for the last quarter in terms of integration costs or other effects like we saw in this quarter? Just some ballpark for the recent two acquisitions.
Okay, Johannes, you will do this?
Happy to do so. Some ballpark figures. What we do see is just a very really some consulting costs. So that's going to be six figure, and really integration in terms of restructuring or structuring differently. That is not something we see with those assets.
Okay.
And with regards, and by the way, with regards to also, if you say consultant costs, it's not high level top management consultants, for instance, that we right now, kind of, you know, implement a new SAP system, you know, in Canada, which is perfectly then in sync with our SAP system here in Germany. It's more, you know, those kind of operational things.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, next one.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your touch tone telephone. The next question is from the line of Tim Wunderlich from HAIB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my question. I have a question on the acquisition target, Nextech. I mean, you gave us some indication about the revenue for next year and also about the EBITDA margin, but could you be a bit more specific? I mean, is the EBITDA margin double digits? And also an indication on the purchase price, on the metric that you paid for the entity, and also if there's some earnout. Thank you.
Yeah, I can begin, and then Johannes, maybe you add. I mean, first of all, the acquisition price is a combination of a single-digit lower million price, okay? So single-digit, but in the lower area, combined with then an earn-out in later periods, which is completely based on, I would say, you know, ambitious EBITDA targets. Okay, so that's the first part of the answer. And the second part of the answer is, as you, you know, asked for the EBITDA margin, so it's single digit right now, but very attractive with the potential to become very soon double digit.
I think there's not much to left for me. I mean, okay. Tim, we're going to be much more specific in the time to come, but yeah, the details have not been really disclosed.
Okay, and the potential to move it up to double digits. I mean, is this coming from scale when the business grows, or are you also seeing some synergies with SigmaPoint that you can improve margin?
Yeah. So we have so two things here. First, we have a team, you know, with SigmaPoint in the week starting 5th of December. So let me say, kind of course, you know, in kind of a legal adequate way, but to go into first discussions, you know, how would the PMI plan, you know, look like, you know, once we can do the closing. And of course, there again, I mean, purchasing synergies, you know, will play a major role. So first thing, and second thing, they have some very, very nice projects in the pipeline, which have a very high probability that they, or that at least one of them will already start in 23. And this would come along with very nice EBITDA margins and very low, you know, needed investments for that. Okay? So more is not, you know, possible to say right now.
Okay, no, but that's very helpful. Thank you. And then regarding the Ghost One, I mean, you continue to sound very optimistic on this one, and you talked about the ramp, which is expected in the second half of next year. So could you just give us an update on the customer interest and what kind of volumes would you expect in 2023? Thank you.
Yeah, I will not go too specifically into the volumes, but I mean what I can tell you is that, I mean, customers are already probing the first you know, samples which we have out, and you know, all of them are you know, extremely enthusiastic about that, and those are customers from very, very different industries. We have customers you know, testing the Ghost One right now, which are, let me say, players in the charging infrastructure market, which came to the conclusion that the next generation of the wallbox is something which goes beyond their competencies, so that they decide, you know, for this very special segment, very interesting segment, to maybe go with the Ghost One. Then we are in very, very concrete discussions with three automotive players, because, I mean, you can imagine that with all the public infrastructure being so weak in Europe, that, you know, many customers who buy, you know, electric car the first time, they naturally also ask the car dealer or the car manufacturer whether they can order you know, specific wall box for their home, you know, at the same time. So, you know, that's kind of a, you know, perfectly designed wall box together with the model. So we are talking with three car manufacturers, you know, about this kind of thing. And then thirdly, we are also talking with, I would call it, system integrators, so companies who attack specific vertical markets, like for instance hospitality, like hotels, like restaurants, etc., selling them complete solutions to make you know, their customers you know, in the situation to charge their cars when they are there, and then also to make it sure that the consumption of the energy automatically will be added to the bill of the hotel or the restaurant. And, you know, they are doing everything for them, and they, of course, those integrators as well, need high sophisticated wall boxes which can you know, really communicate then with the hotel software, etc. So that's the third very interesting bucket which we have. And then the fourth one, and that's the last one, is our typical solar storage customers which we have today, because also they are more and more selling complete, you know, solutions to their channels, you know, with the solar panels, with kind of a charger, with kind of a Wärmepumpe. So they are also looking for a solution in the charging area, and that's the fourth area. And I mean, we are with, let me say, some of those potential customers, those prospects, you know, of all of those four areas, we are in, let me say, close negotiations, in order to, also for us, I mean, to get, you know, with limited kind of resources, because you have to order all the chips, etc., quite in advance, to really make the best out of our Ghost One for our business.
Sounds great. And then about the you know, the plan of what kind of volume you think is possible when you ramp it up already in 2023?
I mean, in 2023, I would say, let me talk about the second half year of 23. I think in the second half year of 23, this could double the volume which we have in the second half year now in 22.
Okay.
Mr. Wunderlich, are you done with your questions?
I would have another two questions, if that is all right. Just about the gross margin, right? The gross margin for the group in Q3, it was down compared to Q1 and Q2. I mean, why is that, right? You are now talking about price increases, about cost cuts, and you're saying that the extra costs that you used to have from the brokers, that you needed to buy some chips from brokers, that this is actually coming down as the supply chain constraints are easing. So why was the gross margin actually lower in Q3?
Tim, I think maybe I was touching that too lightly when we were going over that slide. if you look at the absolute numbers and if you look at the so the operating part of the gross margin, that really develops quite stable. Would I like to have more? Yes, of course, but that kind of goes stable. You have almost the same amount in the same same range of operating gross margin there. What we've been doing, we've been really pushing on the additional costs at no further charge to the to our customers, and we're quite good at that. We're pushing almost 90% of the add-on costs, and we're pushing further. And what happens really just mathematically is that we see an increase also in the total output, so to say, and that is what I wanted to highlight with that kind of controlling effect that leads to. We have 27.1 after 9 months year-to-date, and if you kind of put this this very successful effect out of the calculation, that you're up again at 28.9.
Yeah, okay.
See what
yeah,
I mean?
Understood. Make sense. Fully understood. And then my last question, if I may. I mean, solar renewables has been a fantastic vertical for you this year, growing by more than 100%. And you said that you want to achieve 100 million of revenue or more this year. And then I'm just wondering, I mean, how much more, how what are the prospects for 2023? I mean, this has grown very, very strongly. You have a higher base now. What can we expect for next year? What I'm guessing is that it's going to be hard to double it again, right? But are we talking about 20% growth, 50% growth? Just any indication would be helpful.
Yeah, so I would say, my indication would be that, I mean, because of, capacity, with, always means also workforce, it's not possible to continue this with the pace, we already have. So my personal assumption would be that there could be another 50% growth next year, and this is also dependent from how fast we can boost our capacity in Bulgaria. And here the challenge is that we've built a new building in Bulgaria, but we have other customers which are as well pushing interesting customers, pushing very, very hard to help them to ramp up production in Bulgaria. So we have to balance this in a way that we satisfy multiple interests of customers, including our solar customers. So to the best of my knowledge today, I would assume, and that's also what I tell our people in Memming in Bulgaria, another 50% growth at least next year, Tim.
Okay, thanks. And that would also mean that demand is really not the issue, but it's all about capacity, right?
Mm. Yes, it is. It's about, I'm assuming that, not the major problem will be the availability of critical components anymore, as a trend next year, but it will more in the entire industry will be more the capacity. So getting the right people, ramping the buildings up, et cetera. This will be the number one, critical issue we need to manage. Yeah.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much, guys. Cheers.
Okay, cheers. Thanks, Tim.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have any further questions, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Rainer Koppitz and Dr. Johannes Fuss for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you very much for listening watching the slideshow. Was a pleasure. We are knowing that there are still some challenging ahead of us, but I think in terms of growth and also stabilizing the margin, it's quite impressive what's happening with KATEK, and much more to come. So thank you very much. Stay tuned, Johannes.
Nothing to add. Thank you very much.
Super. Then have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.
Bye.